Let's gavel. Hey guys, it's your girl Hamase. Thanks for joining me today on this special solo episode. Bailey, we miss you so much, but I'm going to try to hold down the fort and keep the people engaged. So yeah, today's a solo episode. I wanted to speak on a few topics, and we might do this every so often, and Bailey will definitely have her own as well. So yeah, let's get into the episode. It's Friday night. Yes, I'm lame. I'm recording on a Friday night. crazy week this week. I had two mediations and two depositions and a bunch of deadlines because no matter what you're doing that day in court or mediation or deposition, those deadlines, they're always creeping up behind you, right? So it was a pretty wild week. The first mediation we had, we did not think it would settle. We had trial dates and we thought we're just going to do this and see if we can settle it, but pretty much expecting to go to trial. And guess what? To everyone's surprise, it settled. Holla. So that's awesome. By contrast, the second mediation, which I definitely thought that case was going to settle, the mediation was 8 hours long. Okay, 8 hours. 8 hours, no breaks, mind you. And it didn't settle. And I was so shooketh because I definitely thought that case was going to settle. It's been going on years. It's so complicated. Basically, the reason it did not settle is because one of the parties is standing on principle. By the end of it, we were only like a few tens of thousands of dollars apart, which it's hard to, I'm trying to be vague, but it wasn't too far apart. But the individual was standing on principle. He said, "No, ma'am, no, sir. I'm standing on principle. This is unacceptable. I am drawing a line in the sand." So we didn't settle, but you know, I get it. I understand. Sometimes it's rare, but sometimes principle is more important than the dollar bills, you know? Both the dollar bills in terms of like settling amount and also the dollar bills in terms of paying your attorneys. Because if you don't settle, you're just continuing to rack up attorney's fees. And for most people, the smart thing is just to cut your losses and, you know, cut it early. But for some people, it's worth spending the fees to stand on principle. I have a lot of thoughts about that. We'll save that for another day because I have a lot of other things I want to talk to you guys about today. So let's get into today's topics. I was thinking a lot about what I wanted to talk about on this special solo episode. And something that I feel is a conversation I have with a lot of my friends, and just a conversation that I think is important for society as a whole, but definitely law students, definitely working professionals, honestly, anyone with a job, and that is negotiating your salary. Now, before we get into some thoughts and advice about negotiating salaries and scholarships, you might be wondering, who the heck am I to be talking to you guys about such big topics like that, right? Well, good question, Karen. Not only am I a lawyer who negotiates pretty much every single day, but in my personal experience, I have negotiated my salary on several occasions in different jobs. And on the topic of scholarships, I negotiated my law school scholarship when I was, you know, coming into law school, and I was able to get my scholarship up 375%. Yes, I did the math right before I got on. So I have some thoughts. You know, I have some thoughts, and the reason I thought this would be an important topic is because as a woman, I know it's so easy to sell yourself short, not ask because it's scary, and just get really intimidated, not know where to start, not feel like comfortable with the topic of money and salaries and scholarships. you know, it requires you to advocate for yourself, which is hard in and of itself. It requires you to reflect on your own value and attach a dollar amount to that value, which is, again, really, really hard in and of itself. Now, we all know that traditionally men have an easier time doing that. And I think it comes down to men feel more entitled and more confident. And that's fine. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just think that women don't feel as comfortable and confident to ask for what they deserve. So I hope that in this conversation, I can encourage you to grow a pair and just ask. No, I'm just kidding. You guys, just you deserve it. And I want to embolden you and empower you to ask for what you deserve. Okay, so let's get into talking about negotiating salaries. I'm going to break this down into a few steps. The steps are, one, you need to ask. I know, it's so basic, but seriously, you need to ask. The number one rule you have to remember in life is a closed mouth does not get fed. If you don't ask, nobody's going to offer it to you. You need to ask. You're your own best advocate, okay? That's rule number one, ask. Rule number two is be prepared. Be prepared for the conversation that you are going to have with your employer about your salary. We're going to put a pin in that and come back to it because that'll be the longest part of our conversation. Rule number three is confidence. You have to be confident when you're asking for your salary. There are things you can do to boost your confidence. The first thing that you can do to boost your confidence is to be prepared. And so that's why, going back to rule number two, we're going to be prepared. Lord knows, going into that conversation with your boss and you know you're about to ask for a raise, oh my gosh, what, like all the feelings it brings up in your stomach, in your head, you know, like, oh, it just brings up so much. A huge part of what you can do to relax and boost that confidence is taking deep breaths. Take deep breaths. Before I took the LSAT, I got to the test center 2 hours early. You guys, I know it was crazy. 2 hours early. And I spent 2 hours sitting in my car, breathing and meditating. Anything I'm super, super nervous about, I breathe on it. Another thing that increases confidence is positive affirmations and positive self-talk. Affirmations. Some people think affirmations are so woo-woo and this and that. Historically, the men in my family personally, just when I say the word affirmation, they just roll their eyes and move on. No, you guys, affirmations are so powerful. Anytime I'm going into like a really big conversation, like a salary conversation, for at least a week before, I am writing out my affirmations. I'm talking to myself. I'm listening to little YouTube clips about you can get the salary. You deserve the salary. You are amazing. You can do it. You need to have that active practice of affirming yourself positively, because otherwise your mind is just going straight into doubt mode, doubt mode, doubt mode. We don't want doubt to take over. Sometimes you can't help it. The voice of doubt just, it creeps up, it's there. So what do we do to combat that? We take active steps to affirm and boost our confidence by saying you can do it, you do deserve it, you are prepared, you know what you're talking about. All of those things help the confidence levels when you're going into those conversations. Okay, rule number four is your negotiation does not end with your ask. What do I mean by that? You go into the conversation and you're like, all right, I'm asking for X number of dollars. You have this figure in your mind. You've done your homework. You're coming to the conversation prepared. It's finally the moment where they say, okay, how much do you want? And you say X. And you feel like, oh my God, please don't fire me. You know, you feel like they're going to be like, oh, how dare you? Get out of my office. That never happens, obviously. We know that never happens, right? You throw out the number and don't expect it to end right there. You might get some pushback. You might get some questions. Is there room for further conversation? can we start the conversation with the employer and maybe come back to it? Maybe we need to take a beat and think, consider all the data that you've brought into the conversation. Maybe your employer needs some time. Maybe they have sticker shock. Maybe they need to figure out if it works in their model. There's so many factors that go into the decision of giving you your salary on their end that you have to allow the person on the other end of the table some grace to, you know, come back to you with their thoughts, whether it be in that moment, whether it be kind of later in the week, in the day. We don't want them to think about it forever because we do need an answer. But what I'm saying is expect a little bit of discussion after you've thrown out your request. Let's go back to rule number two, be prepared. Remember, I told you this is going to be the longest conversation probably in this whole combo because there is so much that goes into asking for your salary if you're smart about it. And after this episode, you're going to be smart about it. With that said, this conversation that I'm having right now, it is geared towards people who, you know, are being paid enough where they can at least live at a minimum. There are some jobs where the salaries are so ridiculously low that my biggest advice is honestly go look for a different job. Right now, we're talking about merit salary negotiations. We're talking about what do you bring to the table and how do we make sure that you're getting paid for what you are bringing to the table. And I'm sure if you are prepared and you follow all my advice, you can get paid a lot for what you bring to the table. Why? Because we are going to focus on the value that you bring to your team. We're not saying California is an expensive place to live. Please, I need more money. You can do that, but you'll probably get what, a cost of living adjustment or something like that. No, we're talking about leaps and jumps in our salary. So what do you need to do? The preparation starts not from a few days before, not from a week before, not even months before. It could start as early as a year before, maybe a few years before, maybe not a few years. I would say negotiate your salary every year. Okay, go back to your employer, have the conversation every year. So from year to year, let's talk about that period. You are going to pay attention to the value you bring to your firm every single year. Do you attract clients to the firm? Keep tabs on that. Do you bill higher than everyone else? Keep tabs on that. Do clients tend to talk to you because you're more responsive? Maybe you explain what's happening with their case a little bit better in a way that's easier to understand than others. Maybe you're a team player. Maybe you work independently with little need for oversight from management. Why is that important? Because it takes a lot off of management's plate, okay? If you're bringing in clients, that's an easy one. I'm bringing in business. If the clients tend to reach out to me to get the updates on their case, what does that do? That frees up the partner's time, for example, or the manager's time. It also keeps the clients engaged with the firm. It keeps them happy and satisfied, right? What if I'm bringing in the fact that I'm a team player? Now, being a team player is very important, right? I mean, I think it goes without saying, but what does being a team player do? It minimizes drama and conflict for the manager. And what does that do? That, again, frees up their time. Now, all of these things I'm talking about are things that probably most of us, managers, employees, colleagues, we all kind of take it for granted, right? It's like the little things, the obvious things that we're like, yeah, obviously I do that. Whoa, wait. Think about the things you do so well naturally and try to tie that to some value it brings to your employer or your manager or your firm or your clients or your colleagues and get creative with it. Here's an example. Clients come email me when they want an update on their case. It used to be that they would email my partner and now they come to me. It's such a minor thing in on the surface, but again, what that does is it frees up the partner's time. It shows the partner that clients trust me, That's really important. It also keeps the clients satisfied and it keeps them paying their bills. Now, when you're thinking about things like that, write it down, right? We're going to write all those things down. As we're going through the year, we're going to notice. We're going to notice the months that we're working really hard. What are we doing to work really hard? Are we being proactive about getting more work? Maybe if it's a slow month or something, we're being proactive about doing a little bit more networking. Or, and then where does that networking lead us to? Did we bring any referrals in? Did we get new clients? Did we get new connections with colleagues that we can work with in the future? Kind of start to track your steps. Okay, I took this step and what did that lead me to? And how did that affect my team? And how did that affect my manager? You know, you really want to start noticing the web that you create around you through your actions. I hope that makes sense, but we're really just trying to follow our value. And we start early on, we track our progression throughout the year so that when we get to the conversation, we already know you have 10 clients who are super happy. They've left, you know, the firm reviews, for example, or they've emailed and said you did a great job. You know, or maybe you had a heavy hand in settling several cases for clients and for cases that were really difficult. I'm trying to give you guys ideas of like what type of value I'm talking about. All of this is important. All of it. Okay. All of it. Because really, it's demonstrating to the employer that without you, none of that would have happened. Or without you, they would have had to take the extra time to think about this really annoying, I don't know, client or this really annoying problem. Or they'd had to answer that extra email that, yeah, it's just one extra email, but one becomes 10, becomes 20, and it increases their load on their shoulder. But when you can show your employer that you're freeing up their time, you're freeing up their stress, you're taking stuff off their plate, that is invaluable, right? That's invaluable. Now, I think there might be some people listening who say, Hamase, that sounds really great for you. Like, but I don't know. Like, that's not me. I'm not doing that. False. False. I know you are. I know you are. You just have to dig down deep, find the confidence, and give yourself the ability to kind of step out of your self-doubt and notice the value that you bring to the world and to your workplace. I want you to give yourself permission to go there. Be a man. Be a man and let yourself feel entitled for a second to that salary. Say, yeah, I do deserve that. I bring a lot to the table. Let yourself go there. Dive in. Go deep, okay? Write down everything you think you do, from the smallest freaking thing, even if it's dropping the mail off at the end of the day, like you took on the responsibility to drop off the mail at the end of the day. You took on the responsibility to open the door for people when they walk in. Whatever it is, write it all down. Master list it. Master list the shit out of that. And then start circling some of the things that you feel like would be most important to your boss, would be most important to the conversation. Try to tie, I mean, you're going to start seeing some patterns for sure. So try to like tie that in so that you can bring several examples into kind of a larger topic. Like, I am a team player and these are all the examples. That's the exercise I want you to engage in going into your salary negotiation, because I promise you, when you do that, the conversation is going to be so much easier. It's going to be so easy because now you have so many things you can bring up with your employer. Okay, so with that, we now have a handle on the value we bring to the firm, right? We know how valuable we are. We need to connect that value to a dollar figure. Now, that's probably one of the most difficult things, right? Because there's so many things you're trying to take into account. Cost of living is for sure just a basic. We need enough to survive. ego, honestly, like how much is going to make me feel like I'm getting paid enough? That is like a huge thing that I don't think employers give enough credit to. But we need to feel good in our job, right? We need to feel like, yeah, I feel like this is fair. This makes me want to keep going and keep doing well for my boss. Now, for people like myself who are on the billable hour model where you bill to a client and the client pays based off the time and work that you've done for them, it's kind of easier to determine a dollar amount for what you're bringing in because it's basically three times what you're bringing into the firm. So if you have transparency into what you are bringing into the firm, divide that by three, and that's like a pretty solid measure for your salary. Not a lot of people work on that model. So for the people that don't, try to do some research about what is like an average salary for someone in your experience level and your industry. Get like a baseline, okay? Get a baseline, kind of see like where we're at. Now, evaluate your own salary based on that baseline. Are we above it? Are we below it? If we're below it, we need to at least be there, right? Like that's our biggest goal. Let's shoot a little bit upwards of that when we ask for our salary so that we have a little bit of room when the employer pushes back and wants to negotiate that we know like at least we can get ourselves to the baseline, right? If you're at the baseline, okay, now I want you to start thinking about the value component. What do you feel your value brings to the employee? What, if you were gone, what would it cost them? What would it cost them in time? What would it cost them in resources? Would they need to bring one or two people to replace you? If it's two people, well, that is, you're bringing a lot of value. You can probably ask for a little bit more than the next person. So we need to think about without you, how would that hurt? Maybe you're a junior associate who's working at a mid-level level. Okay, if you were gone, the employer would have to bring in like a mid-level to do your work, right? Unless they're going to find a unicorn like you who can do what you're doing. Well, that's a pretty good gauge for the salary you're going to pay the mid-level. I should at least be somewhere closer to there. And then you're going to kind of think about, given my junior status and given the fact that I'm working at a mid-level level, where do I kind of fall in between those two measures? And that's going to be your asking point. That's going to be your salary. So you kind of have to do some research. Once you start laying it out, it'll become more clear, right? You already talked about your value. You're already thinking about that. The value is for you to basically gauge, okay, how bold can we be, right? How bold can we be? Because if I'm bringing in a ton of value to the firm, well, I'm going to ask for a little bit more than if I was only doing like a little bit extra, only going a little bit above and beyond. I guess this brings me to a point about be honest with yourself. If you get down to the value conversation, and I know I just hella hyped everybody up, like you do bring value, don't get me wrong, but there are some people who might be going like above and beyond in their jobs, right? And then there's some people who bring value, but maybe not go above and beyond. You know, like you can be honest with yourself, gauge where you're at. And then that's so obvious to the employer. You can't really hide from your own efforts. Like they see whether you're putting in a little effort or a ton of effort. So you kind of need to be honest with yourself so that you can make a really honest salary request, okay? And listen, if you don't get the huge bump that you want now, still go in, still get the little bit of the raise, and then set yourself up for success for the future. I told you, I think that you should revisit the conversation every year. Just to wrap this up, you're going to highlight the value that you bring. You're going to do some research and gather some objective measures, and then put the pieces together. Given what you know about the value that you bring and the objective measures that, frankly, the employer is looking at, what's the dollar amount that you can contribute to that? I would say get your dollar amount and increase it by 10%. And go in with that number. That leaves room for negotiations. That leaves room for growth and conversation. And hopefully it'll land you in a salary range that you feel really good about. Because that's the goal, right? In the end, we want to get you what you want and what you deserve. Now, remember my fourth rule. Your negotiation doesn't end with your ask. You're going to go into the conversation, say thank you to your employer, be grateful, be positive, okay? I want you to go into this conversation super positive. I know you're nervous, but take a seat, say thank you so much for sitting down with me today. I really enjoy working for you, and I just have had such a great experience in this role. I know we're talking about our salary today, and given XYZ value that I bring to the firm, I want to ask for a salary of X amount. And then probably your boss is going to eyes wide open like, oh, okay, interesting. You're going to say, let me tell you why I think I deserve that. Start talking about the value you bring. Start talking about all the milestones you've hit, all the things that you've done. Just talk to them about why you're asking for that. And then as you're kind of reaching, you're explaining, you can also say, and I've looked into the objective measures. Based on this objective measure, I think I exceed it based on the value that I bring, or I think that I should at least hit that measure or a little bit above it based on XYZ reasons. So you're going to really lay out your case. And then stop talking and let your employer respond. They might say, whoa, that's like way above our means here. Okay. Well, you know what I had in mind. So given that it's above the means, what would be kind of more feasible where we can meet my request and also come to a solution that's within the ability of the firms? Now we're going to have a conversation. Maybe they just say outright no. Okay, no, absolutely not. You're not getting a raise today. Well, taking a step back, I'm pretty sure that's like the worst thing that can happen, right? The worst thing that a person can say is no in this situation. If they say no, I think the next conversation to have is questions about your growth at the company. Why are you saying no? Is that a no for right now because of some reason out of my control with the economics of the company? Is that a no because you just don't agree with the value that I bring? And if so, then we need to have a conversation about it. Basically, am I at the right place? So the bottom line is we're going into the conversation as a conversation. We're laying out our expectations, but we're open to discussion. We've already built in the flexibility to come down from our number. I mean, honestly, I never go into salary negotiations thinking that they're going to give me exactly what I want. I always build in a little bit of room for bringing it down because, you know, it's a negotiation, right? Here's the other thing I want to bring up. I'm assuming in this conversation that you have a boss that's willing to have a conversation, right? But, you know, the world is not that idealistic. I completely recognize that there are some bosses who run away from these conversations. And honestly, if you're in a situation where your boss is running away from the value you bring and just does not want to face the fact that you deserve a raise or just doesn't want to have that conversation with you, honestly, my tough truth is maybe it's time to move on from that person, because as you're building your career, it's important that you are in a place that fosters your growth. One part of your growth is your pay, you know, your salary, because again, the amount that you're paid is really going to make you feel good or bad in your job. We all know salary can really make or break the way we feel about a job. So if you have a boss who's running away from what you deserve and the value that you bring, I don't know. I don't want to tell you what to do, but doesn't seem like that person really cares about your growth. And I personally don't want to be in a place where my boss doesn't care about my growth. So I think my advice there is look elsewhere. Why would you want to be with that person? Now, there might be other reasons, right? You might have incredible clients at that firm, but your boss sucks. Okay. How are we going to deal with that? You know, I do think you need to prioritize yourself. Maybe you step away from the firm and your clients, if they love you so much, they can follow. I just think there are ways to make sure that you are getting paid what you deserve. And sometimes it comes with a little bit of creativity and thinking outside the box and taking steps that feel less obvious but might be the right move for you. So be open as you're thinking about your job and your salary to be open to what's best for you and try to follow that as best as you can within your means. I really hope this conversation helps at least one person. At least something about this conversation, I hope, helps you in the future with your salary negotiations. And good luck to you all. To recap, ask, be prepared, be confident, and remember, your negotiation does not end with your ask. A closed mouth does not get fed, and you are your biggest advocate. You got this. You can do it. Money is scary, but you're scarier. Okay, guys, good luck with your negotiations. Godspeed. You got this. You are amazing. You can do it and you deserve it. Never forget who you are. Love you guys so much. I hope this helped. Send us questions if you have any, and good luck. Bye.